All right, Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Father. This is going to be an outstanding night because you're going to be guiding us. And Lord, every time we allow you to guide us, we have an awesome time. And Lord, I just thank you. I bless you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that comes and teaches us and guides us and leads us through the things that you want us to do, Lord. And he is such a precious spirit. And Father, I ask and I pray that tonight each and every one of us is alive in you, Lord. And that the flesh has been beat back. Thank you, Father, for doing that for us. Lord, I ask that tonight, revelations from you, wisdom from you, Father, comes out, and that we just keep the flesh out and allow the spirit to flow. Thank you for that, Father, for answering our prayers. Because we know that we have an open heaven with you. We love you so much, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your presence in all of us. Thank you, Lord, for knitting our hearts together with that golden cord, that golden thread, and pulling on it and bringing us in closer and closer to you and each other. Thank you, Father, for all you're going to accomplish tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let me see here. Let me get these people in. Okay. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, I got a question first. Can anybody in here mention anything that's too big for God? Huh? Oh, Joe's got one. Let's hear it, Joe. I wouldn't do that, but go ahead. Step right Lord on can, in, brother.
Lord cannot lie.
That's good, Joe. That's good, brother. Oh, my. He cannot lie. He's not going to lie. Amen. Okay. Who's got a prayer request? Because I know God's going to answer it. If you got one, he's going to answer. That's just his nature with us, you understand, because he loves us. And we do have an open heaven. I don't care what that devil says. The devil's a liar and the father of all a liar. Okay, I'm going to pray then. How's it? Go ahead, Pat.
All right, I'll prime the pump here. I want prayer for my wife. I believe that she, way back when I started, I was seeking, I had just bailed. Has somebody got a bell going or something?
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. back when I kind of made my last fell swoop of resting in the church scene, I guess you might say. I think the Lord was putting the last death nail on that coffin. I finally bailed on that. Had enough and started seeking to find God somewhere. Of course, I ended up on the internet and went all over the place and landed on America's Last Days and have stayed there after finding the treasure trove that was on that site and just to meet people and that I knew God that it was. I just couldn't. I couldn't turn away. Couldn't turn back. But in that same time, and unfortunately, this kind of sounds like a story. It was going to be a prayer request. I'm going to end up on it, but I have to say this anyway. Through my Christian walk, I had always been seeking to find God in the process. Even when I joined the churches and went through that whole process, I found it to be very surfacey, obviously, and I just kept going. And I would kind of go from one place to another, even though I stayed in the church, but I was looking, I was constantly looking, and my wife was tracking with me through that process. And she, I think, she unfortunately was the benefactor, or she felt the consequences of my constant searching and seeking and looking. And so I don't know if that kind of generated a certain amount of insecurity or whatever. I'm not quite sure. However, when I locked on with America's Last Days, I started listening to David's messages. I've just constantly absorbed him. And she thought that I was obsessed in this, with David's teachings and whatnot. But I could never explain to her, never get it through, that it wasn't me searching out and finding David's teachings as much as what it was finding a rhyming or a harmonization of what I felt in my heart to be God's word and truth. And it was just attraction and a draw and a feeling that I finally found somebody who was preaching the word and actually could express the truth of God and could live it and experience it. And it was just so exciting. Anyway, couple that with the fact that I probably brought a ton of baggage with me that needed to be cast out, thrown down, rethought, breathe in new faith and new truth and walk with new life and just a whole thing like that, which was all happening at the same time. So I believe that Kathy, unfortunately, saw more of my failure than she did experience the feeling of, I will have to say, success or finding the truth and that sort of thing. And so I can't say that I have been a good example of a discipleship of Christ. And so because of that, I know my particular confessions only faults and sins and whatever, and would make an impact for a while, and then it would wear off and it would kind of go into nothingness. And it was kind of forgot it the next day type of thing. So Kathy logged on to, when she heard that I was listening to David L's materials, she searched the internet and she found some, people that were railing against David and whatnot. And I believe that she kind of caught this factious spirit that we're all battling and seeing the results of these days. And so I say all that to say, I would like prayer for Kathy. I would like prayer for my family. I would like prayer for my brother who has been here once before, just to see what was happening. I think my brother Wayne was same situation. He's gone through the battle and he's locked on to God through the process, but I believe he is battling things that he doesn't even realize he's battling. So my sister is lives up really close to Barry in Maryland. She lives in Washington. And she's had, there's a spiritual battle going on in her heart that she is completely unaware of what's really happening as well. But I got a whole potpourri of things in my family that I would just like prayer for. I'm trusting the Lord that, again, in my life, I could see where he drew me and he peeled one lie at a time. And it was like taking a leg out from under a chair. You only need to hit that one specific lie and a mountain of deception comes falling down. And so I'm just trusting the Lord for that very thing and asking for prayer at the same time.
Okay. Do you want us to pray? Do you want to pray and lead us? And we'll...
I would like you to pray.
Okay. All right. Lord, we lift up Kathy and the rest of the family there to you, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we break the power of faction off of them in the name of Jesus right now. We bind up faction, cast it out of there in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for allowing reasoning in the spirit to flow in that family in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you, and I know Pat's been doing this, but I'm going to pray it anyway, that you place in Pat faith and power to believe that when he prays, he's the authority in that house, that the enemy has to listen and they have to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that his brother also, we break the power of Satan over him, that his eyes would be opened up, his spiritual eyes and his spiritual ears would be opened up. And his sister, the same thing, that their eyes and ears, their spiritual ears would be opened up to the truth of the gospel and not man's religion. And Father, we thank you for that. I know that the time ahead, there's going to be many, many people that's going to come to you and want to know the truth because they've seen a lie and they know it's a lie because they're not protected. They're under the curse. And now they want to get out from under. And Lord, I thank you that you're keeping Pat on the straight and the narrow. And when the time comes, they're going to come running to it. You told us about some things that's already happened. We want to know who it is that you know. And then he'll be able, Lord, to explain to them the gospel in simple words, in simple language, that they would understand and they would come and be filled with the Holy Spirit and just dive into the teachings of your Holy Spirit, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for his whole household. You've given us household salvation. We believe with him that every person in his household that he's been praying for is already saved. And we praise you for it, Father, because we know our prayers are answered by you. And we thank you, Lord, that his whole household is in the kingdom by the blood of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Because the blood of Jesus has already covered his household. And he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're coming in. Thank you. Lord, you know, we know what it's like to have family members that come against us because of what we believe in the word, the true word. But Lord, I ask that you place it in Pat, not to let it bother, just put a smile on his face and say, well, when the time comes, y'all just give me a call. I'll let you know what to do. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father, for a household salvation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. I believe it, Pat.
Amen. So do I.
Pat, how many children? How many children do you have, Pat?
Two.
Two, okay. Yeah,
three ones in heaven already. So. Charlie and Monica are still here. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Well, let's pray for Isaiah. Angelica's Isaiah, that's his, our son, 15-year-old boy. Father, we lift up Isaiah to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It says that if we pray, we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. And we're going to pray for Isaiah, and he's going to be healed in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I come against this stomach infirmity, command it to go from Isaiah in Jesus' name. I command all the symptoms to go with it in the name of Jesus. And I command him to be healed. Every cell in his body be healed in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that Isaiah is completely healed in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for Isaiah's healing in Jesus' name. I believe it. Now he can go eat him a big old juicy hamburger. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right.
I want to have Malcolm her too.
Yeah, I know you do, Leon. So do I. I've got some sitting in the freezer just waiting. Pureed burger, Greg says. Oh, no. Oh, no. I want that beat. I'm going to quit. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, that brings up, I've got a secret stash that's slowly building for November, 3rd or 4th? Just celebrating no war. yeah, just the thought of trying to use a blender to turn pizza into liquid is kind of, I don't know, doesn't sound very appealing. Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm just ignoring you.
And rightly so. I'd like to pray for Pat.
Okay.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that for your household salvation. You know what's going on in Pat's family, and we come against the spirit of deception that's all through the country. It's just everywhere, and that our precious relatives that we pray for, that sometimes buy into disinformation that Satan's just spreading all over the place. We thank you, Lord, that you can open eyes in your own time, Lord, that you can set the captives free from this bondage, so they can see the truth, and Lord, we believe, we stand with Pat on family salvation. We stand with Pat that every member of his household that he has jurisdiction over is taken care of, is under the blood. And we just stand with him. We stand with, we all have family members, Lord. Well, we're just praying for Pat's family right now and his siblings. Any family members, Lord, we're praying for them. We're believing for them as well that aren't in his household. We just we thank you, Lord, that his prayers are heard regarding his family and those that he cares for and those he loves. We also pray for his coworkers, people that he has contact with. We want of course we don't know their names, but but you do, Lord. And he has people on his heart that we also want to stand with him regarding. So anyway, I thank you, Lord, for putting his mind at, for putting Pat's mind at ease about these things, that he can rest in you regarding the people that he loves, and that you've got under your hand is there. We thank you for that. So also, Lord, I want to thank you for revealing the corruption, and we want to. Well, we can save that kind of praying for later. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for all these things. And I just want to bless all my brothers and sisters here, too. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Is that it, Malcolm? You have anything else?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'll wind up again later, maybe.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's see. Go ahead, Angelica.
I wanted to pray for Pat, too.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you so much for Pat, Father God, and his heart towards you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for blessing him to find the truth, Father God, and just that wonderful experience that you've given him, Father God, and finding the truth, Father God, that the spirit man rejoices and in the confirmation of what you've given in our spirit man's to understand. And I just come against any shame, guilt, or condemnation, any lies of the devil, Father God, that would, you know, try to say maybe perhaps any of this is his fault, Father God. We know, Father God, that you have a plan, Lord God, so we just bind those spirits and we command them to loose him. Lord, I ask that you would heal his heart, Father God, if there's any wounds there, Father God, and I ask for reconciliation between him and his wife, Father God. I ask that same desire, Father God, that you gave to Pat, you would give to his wife, Father God, to put those questions in her mind, Father, and give her that seeking, Father God, that he had, Father God, and I just pray that you give her dreams and visions, Father God, and we bind those demons, Father God, from coming against them, Lord God, and we just put a hedge of protection while the fire around Pat in his mind and his heart, Father, and we thank you that he can endure this trial, Father God, so he see the fruit come forward in his wife, and that she also be fulfilled, Father God, in her heart and her mind and her life, Father God, through the desires of the Spirit, Father, and I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, we had a visit today from people from back in Illinois, a couple that we knew. We actually knew the wife back in Illinois where we live, a believer for many years, and her sister also came down with them. So it was Chip and Ruth, and then her sister was Janet, and Matt and Sue and Deb and I, we had met with them today, and but we wanted to pray for mainly for Janet and her husband. She's a believer, and he's not a believer. He's blind. He's been blind from birth, and in their relationship right now, just seems real, you know, a stalemate between. You know, and there's just a stubbornness in his heart and a resistance, and it's like he can't get anywhere with him in the Lord, and they don't even kind of sort of don't even like being around each other, and that's just where they're at. You know, she was just open, but we wanted to pray for him. His name is Jeff. So God, we pray for Jeff right now. God, we pray for his salvation. Lord, you sanctify a husband on behalf of the wife, if she's a believer, and that's the case. So, Father, we pray for that a sanctification, even for Jeff, that you would begin to really move in ways and draw him and let him come across things that touch the chord in his heart, Lord, of just help him in that seeking, Lord God. Help make him a seeker. Help him to to begin to ask you questions and seek after you, Father. to know that you are true. We just lift him up to you for that, Father, for his salvation, God. Just bless their marriage, God. We'll just pray for a real grace in their marriage and a blessing and a turn in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for a healing of that blindness. Father, we read it in the scripture. Every time people come across you were blind, they were healed. And so we believe that for Jeff. We thank you for his healing, for his blindness. And we just thank you now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that when we pray for somebody, that's going to happen in Jesus' name. Jeff, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Not only that, you come on into the kingdom. We declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for granting him repentance and bringing him in, Lord. We come against that old stubborn mind right now in the name of Jesus. We break down the walls that have kept him from the gospel in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing Jeff in. Glory to God. That's going to happen, ain't it, Denny? It's going to happen. Yes, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
I wanted to pray for Janet. Father, I pray that you would draw Janet closer to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we bind up and cast down any spirits of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness there. Sometimes we're walking in these things and we're just so used to living with them that we don't even realize that that's what it is. Bind up and cast down also any spirits of criticism and judgment that might be operating there. And just this sounds like there's maybe even a spirit of faction there as well that's making the sounds like a kind of unhappy situation. So any spirits of frustration going on with her, annoyance, irritation. We bind all these things up in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray in your great mercy that and faith in your faithfulness, Father, I pray that you'd pour your spirit out on Janet. Even tonight, that you're just going to melt her heart, that you give her a dream, a visit, a visitation, a vision, that she's going to know that she's had an encounter with you, and pour the Holy Spirit out on her, Father, and a spirit of repentance and faith. And Father, also that you would put love in her heart. You'll renew the love that she had for her husband when they got married. And Lord, that this is going to be a great witness to him as well, to Jeff. And Father, I thank you for the good work you're doing there. I thank you for bringing them down there so that they can fellowship and be blessed by the fellowship. And also, Lord, even have maybe further contact with Denny and Debbie or Sue and Matt. And thank you, Lord. You're doing a good work here, and I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. That's done. Amen. All right. Anyone else? I want to mention briefly, not more than an hour and a half anyway, about faction and what it is and how dangerous it is, just briefly, because we're seeing it come in. And into the local body and somewhat in the outreach also. So what faction is, it's something that causes division. And it's very dangerous. The Lord says not to have anything to do with somebody that causes division. Let's take something, for instance, the UBM website. If you go to the UBM website, you notice all that garbage that's down below. That's faction. That's trying to keep people from coming to the Lord. They may not realize it, but that's what it is. What happens with faction, that's a spirit that you don't have to touch anyone to get it. You don't have to touch anyone. You don't have to lay hands on them to get it. All you have to do is speak and they listen. And you got it. That's how dangerous it is. I'll tell you about something that happened to me the first time I found out about faction, just so you'll understand what faction is. Me and David first moved over here in this house here, I had a guy come up to my room. And he was in faction. Of course, at the time, I wasn't real familiar with faction. And he came up real subtle, like, well, I know you're a man of God and that you've got wisdom. And he started that kind of business with me. I said, uh-oh, what's he want? And as the night progressed, it turned into him talking negative things about David and the ministry and what was wrong with it. And I finally, be honest with you, I sat there and listened to it for a while. And finally, I just got tired of listening to it. And I just told him, I said, well, I'm fixing to go to bed. You need to go. So he left. And the next morning, I got in my truck to go do something, go help somebody or something. And I forget who was with me, but David was outside by the garage, and I just pulled down just a little bit, and I jumped out of the truck and I said, you got anything against me, David? Out of the clear blue sky. He looked at me kind of funny like. I said, no. I said, okay then. And I was thinking about it on the way down, that we have a long, steep driveway. And I was thinking, why did I do that? Why did I do that? And I was thinking about it all the way where I went until I got back. And I went in and I talked to David. I said, I ain't got a clue why I said what I said. He said, what happened? I said, well, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to find out if there was something wrong between us, you know. And I told him about what happened the night before. He said, oh, well, that makes all the sense in the world. He said, that's faction. He said, we need to pray for you to get it off of you, because that's exactly what it is. That is how subtle that demon is. And it works in many different ways. You can read something negative about somebody. You can, and believe it. You don't really have to believe it. It'll jump on you. But you need deliverance if you do, because you'll be way off in the left field for a long time. You could be just lost. That's why the Lord says not to even greet them. Not to even greet factious people. Just stay away from them, because it is so infectious. so infectious. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Does anybody got any questions about faction? It's very subtle. Yeah, Pat.
Well, so based upon what we prayed about before, now obviously I'm married. And so should one in my family have a factious spirit, I can't exactly get up and leave.
No, because you're the authority in that household. Once you're the authority in that household, you can bind it up. That's what I do.
Okay. And cast it out.
It has to obey you because you are Jesus in that household. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He always gives us something to, you know, to use like that, and you can do it. Don't allow it to permeate, you know. Don't allow it to sit there. Just say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And after a while, they'll quit it, you know. They'll quit.
Okay.
I've had them in my family, Pat, go on Facebook and do things, you know. And, you know, it gets pretty bad when I first came over here. But if you keep binding that demon, it goes away. It can't stay. Yeah, Dave.
I was just going to say that even with family members, and we can bind it in the house, and it's got mm-hmm. to abide by our authority. But the thing is also, I mean, I remember when I was trying to cast this Lutheran spirit out of my wife, she felt like she said, she felt like she, her body was separating from her spirit. And I was praying in tongues over that in bed. And so I said, oh, well, you know, one of these things is that I know if you had generational curses there and generational spirits, it's probably not so easy just to cast them out and you take care of that person. He's done, they're done. They have to kind of agree with that. They have to be on board with that too. You can't go against their will. I mean, you in your house, you can have your peace with that. But like my wife, if she continues to go to the church, which she does, that spirit's always going to come on her and stay with her until she finally, the Lord either gives her the revelation that there's something here that's not right and she has to deal with that, which we all came to that revelation with churches, like you just weren't finding something that was right in your life. And you kept on looking and finding, and you found UBM. Lord, let us hear. But unless that person has that seeking and searching, they feel like they have all the answers where they're at. It's the Lord's going to have to open that, you know, window. And we can pray for that, but it's not, sometimes it's not anything we can say. It's going to do it. Just end up getting arguing and making that division harder, and that, you know, makes that wall come up. And so I try not to go into that battle.
Yeah, just leave the religion alone in the household.
Yeah.
But if the spirits, you can bind them up.
But if they go out and come back, they might come back with the same spirit, or they were the same people.
There's got to be an answer, obviously, because I think what both of you are saying is correct. But, you know, and there's probably more in it than, I mean, to a certain degree, I can't say that I haven't been motivated to learn and find God in new ways, being in these circumstances. So there's more than one or two things, two perspectives going on here. But I also, I guess what I'm thinking is that I don't want to be negligent or resting on my laurels, waiting for God, you know, to do something when I should be participating or doing something in a certain way. And that's,
you know, really what your job is, Pat. You know what your job is in your family. Just, it's the same as my job, and that's to pray. You pray for them, and you keep believing for them, and let God do it. Put them on the altar. Say, Lord, I place my wife on the altar. I can't change her. You know that. I've tried. She won't listen to me. Now I'm going to give her to you because you're the only one that can change her. And you do that, and God will do it. Now, it may take a while. I don't know. It may take a shaking. I don't know. But God knows. And what our job is to believe and rest in Him. That's what our job is for our family.
Amen. Agreed.
I wanted, you don't know how many times I want to just choke the life slam out of folks. You know what I'm saying? I had to just step back.
But you want to do it in love. You just do it in love.
Do it in love, yeah. I'm doing this because I love you. Don't you
see,
know?
You see this fist here?
No, the spirit of slap comes over you. That's what Greg says.
That's it.
Oh my, yeah, that's true. Man. No, you just do it in love. You pray and believe.
Well, you know,
it's important that you stay on task and keep on pushing forward yourself and your own life.
Keep thanking God.
You know, because that's important that we stay on that path.
You know that scripture. In Ezekiel, I think everybody probably does, Ezekiel 18, where if the Lord gives you something to say to somebody or to speak to somebody, then and you hold that back and don't say anything, then that person's blood is on your head, you know, that scripture. I'm definitely paraphrasing it to the maximum right now. But if you speak forth and you lay that upon them, then the responsibility is on them. So I always struggle with that aspect of knowing something, but do I keep my mouth shut? Do I just pray? Do I just trust God? Do I just rest, or do I say something? Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, all of those things are true. You know, walking in the Spirit, and you know, God will bring you through. My only thing is again, I just don't want to be like negligent and say resting, trusting on the first aspect as, and God wanting me to reach out and speak or say something. So that's kind of my feeling and dilemma that I have over the process.
Well, so, you they already know where you stand, don't they?
I would think so. I would hope so.
Absolutely. So you've already established that fact, and you've told them about the trials that are coming ahead that we're not going to be zapped out of here before all the bad stuff happens. And if you've told them that much, and here's what I've told my older brothers, you know, I've done that, went down there and told them, you know, and spoke to them about the Lord. And I told them at the end, you know, I just tell them, I say, look, you don't have to believe me right now, because there's going to come a time when your world's going to be upside down. I said, when it does, just give me a call and I'll tell you what to do. And they agree with it, you know. That's the way I did. So I'm looking for a bunch of phone calls come day one of all this mess that happens. Because they're, you know, anyway, that's what I do. Yes, Claire.
Firstly, I just want to say thank you for what you just said now, Michael, because you all know the dreams I have about my younger sister. And it was her birthday on Tuesday. We haven't spoken in 4 years. And enemy just got me, and I've left. I did not have the maturity in Christ when I tried to warn her about the path she was on. So I really did look like somebody with a bell around her neck. I don't say it lightly. I was a freak show. And but God made it so, like he orchestrated everything, right? Like I don't not take responsibility for it. I do. But at that moment, there was no one on the planet that was going to talk to her except me. But now we're in the situation where, anyway. So, and on Tuesday, my whole family messaged me and asked for prayer and probably had a nice Skype call with her. And not one person asked me how I'm doing on today, because I had a vision of my sister before she was born and I was six. I've known her before she even entered the world. And I just was struggling. I've been struggling since Tuesday. And I said to Rian, I don't want to ask for prayer because I feel stupid in asking for prayer, because I've got the faith that she's going to be saved. I've had the dreams about my sister being saved, about her heathen husband being saved first, like the way it should be, you know, like God is so gracious in that. And I stand on that, but it was just crying up on Tuesday and saying, how much longer must we take this being cut out? And it's not the only time we've been cut out, and it's not the only time we've been dealing with persecution because of our faith. I call it persecution. I know I'm not Richard Wurmbrand, but it is persecution. And I think my struggle is understanding the difference between persecution and faction, because I can't say that everyone in our family is factious, because they don't know, like, they don't even want to know about David. Like, we've printed the books, we've given it to them, they've given it back to us. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, so I don't know what the difference is between that. They're not trying to detract us away from David or from UBM, no, except maybe one family member who will send us lascivious teachings. But that I would say is just misguided. It's out of love. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between persecution and faction? Because it feels, I don't know. I don't want to go on what it feels like.
Persecution is when they isolate you, don't talk to you. To me, that's the way it was with me. And or they ignore you, all of that type of thing.
Make the Facebook faction, groups
against you. I'm sorry.
And maybe make Facebook groups against you, or Pinterest boards against you and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what faction is when they speak against the Lord, speak against the truth, speak against trying to cause division. That's what faction is causing division. And if it's family members, look, you just pray for them, believe for them, and You have to do like I did. They know where I stand. They know where you stand, and they know where Rian stands. So there's no use in going through all the religious garbage again, you know. The thing to do is just pray for them and have fun while you're around them, and let them see the light that you have. Because I can tell you this much, I've been here for 9 years, almost 10. They will come to you for prayer because they know your prayers get answered. They will come to you for spiritual advice, whether, you know, however how small it is. But there's this openings. You see openings all along the way that open up. My family wouldn't talk to me for a long time. I'm not talking about brothers and sisters. I'm talking about my daughters and my wife. I had that kind of persecution. So, you know, I just, all I did was just pray and believe. Pray and believe. I knew it was faction because you could see the faction on the internet. They were, my daughters were commenting in factious websites. You know, had people calling my house that were in faction doing the same thing. And anyway, I just started praying. And once I got through praying, it wasn't long until people started coming back, you know. It took about 8 months, but that's okay. So you pray. That's the most powerful effective tool that we have, is praying and believing for your family members. Faction in the household is when you got somebody, every time they see you, they want to fight with you over your theology, over Christianity. That's what faction is. If they just want to get along, that's fine. You know, you just pray for them. I hope that helped a little bit. It's a terrible thing when it's in your family. And I understand that, Claire. But it's it goes away with prayer. It does. Okay, Angelica.
I wanted to share a little bit about this. I was looking up, you know, faction and vines, and it says Erythia, Erythia, denotes ambition, self-seeking, rivalry, self-will being an underlying idea in the word. Hence, it denotes party making. It is derived not from eris, strife, but from erythos, a hireling, hence the meaning of seeking to win followers, factions. And it goes on, but I just wanted to say something about faction because I have gone through that. And this is my own opinion, but I believe that the whole world, everyone has faction before they come to Christ, because that's the world we know. The world we know teaches factions and separations and criticisms to separate yourself from another, you know, based on this quality or that quality, or this, you know, this blessing that you have in life that others don't have, you know, class, race, whatever. So faction is just inherent in the nature of man. But as it is in the Lord, when we're reading the word of God, the promises of God, and what God requires, the word of God, is that we repent for these things, you know, strife and all these lusts of the flesh. It's the lust of the flesh. And so a lot of people get cleansed of these things, but they're not aware of what faction is, what the idea of faction is. And most of us probably were not until we came to this ministry, because a lot of people don't ever talk about it. But it's what separates people. It's why people, it's why there's denominations, because people can't, you know, come into agreement. There's people that are self-seeking, ambitious. Because they have lust, you know, for power, or lust for, you know, praise of man or whatever, they're willing to change the word of God, or, you know, slander or say this or that to gain followers unto themselves. And so that, you know, that should, you know, that, and, you know, speak against other people, and all those are clearly not of the spirit of the Lord. And that should help you to be able to discern faction in someone who calls themselves a brother. But for the most part, people who do not know the Lord have the spirit on them. And this, you know, that's just natural to man, you know, to the world. They, you know, when they want to find out something about someone, they go look them up. And most of the time, you're going to find nothing but slander. You're not going to find, you know, people saying a whole lot of good stuff, because, you know, generally the conservative people are not going to be saying anything. But I'll just give a quick testimony. When I first was finding out about David Eales, I had already been listening to his teachings through another brother who, you know, and we were going to house church, and I knew, like Pat was saying, in my spirit, man, this is it. This is the truth. This is what I've been longing for. And like, I never heard it this way. And I know it's true within my spirit, man. My spirit man was doing backflips, you know, it was wonderful. But I didn't know it was David's teachings. And then there was this faction between him and another brother, it wasn't him, but it was the other brother was factioning against David's teachings. And I was like, well, what's this big dilemma? Who's this David guy? You know, I mean, and then I go to look it up and, you know, there's that guy that, you know, Fellowship of the Martyrs guy, Doug guy, I'm sure you all know. And his video's just right there in the first one, because, you know, that's what came to my mind. Well, who's David? So I put exactly that in YouTube, you know, and his video came up and I listened and had already been listening to him about some deliverance or whatever. So I was familiar with him. So I clicked on it. And within the first 30 seconds of the video, the Lord, I felt the fear of God come on me saying, shut that off. Don't listen one more second. And I just listened and I shut it off. And I said, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, because, you know, he was starting to give testimony about whatever happened to him in his visit here. But I said, I wasn't a witness. I mean, how do I know, you know, what this guy is saying is true? You know, I mean, how can I trust what this man is saying? I mean, I have no witness. And so it's wrong for me to sit here and just, you know, believe what someone has to say about someone else, where I have no, you know, no factual evidence of that, you know? And so I repented, but the Lord spared me. And then later on, I had an encounter with someone who was factious that I didn't know was factious. And that evil communication, constant communication with this person, really defiled my spirit. It tore me up. I mean, I went from on the top of the mountain to, I mean, you know, to the sewers, you know, it will destroy you. And it's something very, very dangerous. You know, so I would just, you know, discern, especially someone who calls themselves a brother who, you know, who claims that they're in the truth. But for the most part, people who are outside of Christ, you don't have to, you know, you would probably, I would say to limit your communications with them, if at all, you know, because the Lord would lead that if he was in that. But, you know, you can, you know, if you're in a work environment where there's nothing but unsaved people, you can always just, you know, bind them up and just don't receive it. You know, you don't have to have anything to do with it. The Lord will keep you. So I just want to say that.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Angelica. Go ahead, Dave.
I wanted to say we've probably, a lot of us have already had some kind of a faction or have been in faction or experienced it, you know. So if you've had experience with it and you've had it, then you know what to look for. And, you know, but I want to talk about, there's natural, normal, factious ideas like critical thinking of others and judgmental and the division part, or we're trying to have motivated to push your agenda, whatever it is, that your mode of what you think is right, and that can be a heretical spirit. That's factious, you know, because you're not going to accept anybody else. You're just pushing your thoughts. And that's what a lot of religions do on some of their theologies and doctrines. And they push it to an extreme. And if you don't accept it, well, you're out of their realm. So that's also part of it. That's heretical part of the faction. And heretical mean it could be a really true doctrine, a real true, as far as what they're saying, but they push it so hard that they don't accept you if you don't believe it. And that's not Christian either. Christian, Christ-like, is you allow others to grow up into the kingdom and at their own pace. And if they can't accept what you're saying, you don't have to sit there and argue with somebody about it. You know, you can just let it go. But a factious person will not let it go, and they'll find a reason to cause division because of it. All right. Even if they might have something that's partially right, they're going to find a reason to divide for that. Now, what we also have been experiencing, and I did last week, and I'm glad over the weekend we got to pray over it, I think it was, there was witchcraft going on again, and the witchcraft can push this on you and you start feeling overcome with faction. You have to understand that there are these, it's not just because you might be exposed to it, but there is witchcraft that goes on. And with that witchcraft going on, it can make you start getting those spirits of lustful spirits, because all factious spirits, there's always that, there's always something in common. They want to divide and separate. They usually have some kind of a lustful spirit that starts coming over them. So you start going through those feelings and those thoughts, and you might have had them before you came to UBM or before you had the Baptist Holy Spirit and got some of these things cast off you, but you start going back through that experiences again. And that's the witchcraft that's coming in against you. So don't feel like, hey, you know, you recognize that and you start getting a little beat back and confused. It's because that's the attack of the enemy. You know, so we can all come back and get cleaned up over that. And it's nothing that you're probably, it's not your fault. It's the enemy attacking. So recognize that and to be willing to say, oh, I got this. And this is coming over me. And if somebody else is just feeling it, maybe others are too. And we all get the blessing of being delivered from that thing. So that's a good thing too. Just if you've had, like I've had a faction, I've had a factious spirit come on me before more than once. It's not like you're desiring to have it come on you. It just will come on. It's mostly witchcraft. Usually it's coming on you, especially now in this group. We realize that you're fighting against a lot of witchcraft. It just, it's there. It comes out. So it's not like, and the Lord uses it to kind of get you back into reminding you what, how nasty that stuff is and that spirit and how, you know, what it can do to take you out, so that, you know, you get kind of humbled a little bit again and feel like, it's okay to get prayed for and have this stuff cast off me, because that's what we're here for as a body. So just wanted to bring that out. So don't feel like, you know, it's over. You're starting to get factious. No, we can. It's easy enough to cast off and get away. Get it off you. And that's the other thing too. People in your household, they may have a factious spirit, but then there is the spirit of faction, which is a demonic spirit that comes on people. I mean, there's their own personal factious part about people, but then there is a spirit of faction, and that spirit comes on. It's out to take people out. That's the one we want to kill, because we can always realize our thoughts and our motives and try to get in alignment with the word and correct it and be humbled and repent and thank God for the forgiveness and then move forward. But there is that spirit of faction, which does keep people out, period. And that's when we have to stop and kill right on the spot, because that is what will take you out, is that spirit of faction. It is an actual spirit. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Go ahead, Claire.
Could I then ask for prayer for myself and Rian? He's probably in a meeting now, but I know he would appreciate it. We did talk about it before. We're not at all against anything that's been taught here, but it just seems to be this attack on our spirit man, and it's not welcome.
Okay. All right, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we lift up Rian and Claire to you, and we break the power of witchcraft that's coming on in Jesus' name. We command it to cease its activity against them now. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're covered with the blood, and these attacks cease right now in Jesus' name. I command any kind of spirits of condemnation to go in the name of Jesus. I command any spirits of criticism to go in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits that are not of God to leave right now in the name of Jesus from this family. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you that you've cleansed them. Not only that, you filled them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we praise you for it. Lord, I know that we get hurt by our family more than we do anybody else. But Lord, I ask that you cleanse our hearts, cleanse Rion and Claire's heart from that. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for putting joy in our heart, because we know they're coming in. Whether they believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. It's what we've prayed. And what we've prayed is their salvation. And we just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I command grief to go in the name of Jesus. I command fear of man to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that they are bold in the Spirit. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for continue to work in both of them in a mighty way, in the whole family, in a mighty way, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Rion and Claire and the kids. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Amen. I want to pray real quick. Yes, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, Father God, for your supernatural protection. Lord God, especially this time of year, Father God, from all the witchcraft.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord God, being sent against the Christians, Father God. So in the name of Jesus, we all put our authority together. We take authority over every principality, power, and ruler of darkness. We take authority over these spirits of faction being sent forth. The spirits of all marriage-breaking spirits, Father God, disunity, strife, division, Father God, chaos, bind that up in the name of Jesus, yep. Father God. We cast it off of us, off of your people in the name of Jesus, Father God. Amen. Lord, we speak a hedge of protection, a wall of fire around our minds, around our hearts, Father God. Lord, we loose the angels to stand guard, Father God, at all places, Father God, where we are. Where our family is, on, and to protect all that's ours on every side, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Amen. And we just refuse these spirits, Father God, trying to make their way, Father God, into our mind, will, and emotions. We bind them up, Lord God. We cast them off in the name of Jesus, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for supernaturally giving us the grace, Father God, to discern and to rest, Father God, that these devils have no authority. Protect our minds and our hearts, Father God, from receiving any ungodly accusations against each other, Father God. Any just unfounded accusations in our minds against any one, Father God, we bind that up in the name of Jesus. We refuse it in Jesus' name. We cast down every curse spoken, anything spoken with our name on it, Father God, we cast that down in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, the victory has already been won, Lord God. The devil's a defeated foe. We cast all these curses down under our feet. And we thank you, Father God, that we have the victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Ditto what she just said in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. That was a good prayer. And I receive it, and I bless everybody with it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you for your protection, Father. All right.
Well,
Claire, I don't know about you, but I feel good. Debbie.
Well, I just was just that, Lord, help us to remember that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
I think we're overcome by these spirits, God, because we're not, Lord. We have you in us, and that's what your word tells us, that you are greater in us than he is in the world. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Stand on that, God.
Amen. And, thank you, Lord. Whew. Boy, I hear some warfare going on tonight, Lord of God. We got that sword out, whacking away. Yes, Angelica was talking about in the chat here, said that John Ramirez says that this is the month of the highest witchcraft practices, and they also come against marriages. Yeah, I don't doubt that, but we're covered by the blood. Praise God forevermore. And if we're covered by the blood, then the enemy's darts are quenched. That's right, in the full armor of God. And we're the armor that we have is greater than whatever the devil's got. Go ahead, Leon.
This is also on the 31st is the second full moon of the month, and it's on All Saints Day or whatever, Halloween, basically. And so they're going to be cursing everybody like crazy because it's they love that full moon on the holiday, on their holiday.
So. Get out and howl that night. Well, here's a little thing that we used to say when I was a kid that we can pray. I've prayed it before. And somebody would throw something at us, you know, and we'd say, I'm rubber, you're glue. Everything you throw at me bounces off of me and sticks to you. And that's what we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Every curse spoken against us bounces off of us and goes right back where it came from. Father, we thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And it's done in Jesus' name.
Also want to send the angels out for protection. Lord, we're going to take an active role in this. We're not going to sit back and just think that you got that we're all protected. We're going to actually cast this off with the name of Jesus. We command the angels to go out, put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us here in UBM to start putting that warfare battle up in front of us to keep the, these enemies from trying to come through, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this power and this ability. We can do that. We can bind the enemy now, and we do that in the name of Jesus. We send forth your angels. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. We bind up those lustful spirits being sent out, Lord God, and dreams, yes. Father God, and thoughts, Father God, for us to meditate on. We bind those lustful thoughts, lust for anything, Father God, that is against you. We bind that up. We cast that out in the name of Jesus. We bind all spirits of distraction, Father God, coming against us. We bind just every wicked devil, every warfare against our spirit, man, that would try to put out the light of Christ in us. We bind that up, Lord God, and we just refuse it, Father God. We refuse it in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask you to lift up a standard, Father God, against the enemy, Lord God, that you anoint us, that you strengthen us in our weakness, Father God, that you honor our prayers during this time of fasting, Father, and that you give us to pray things, Father God, that are important to you, Lord. And we thank you. We bless you, Father God. We thank you for the anointing that we have in prayer, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, that everything that we pray is done. And so we thank you for giving us what to pray, Father God, so that it can go forward, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name.
We cast off that spirit of anarchy too. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Yep, Lord, we pray a hedge of protection around the president, his staff, and his family in Jesus' name, Lord, that the enemy cannot penetrate in the name of Jesus. We're in dangerous times here, Lord, and that's why we lift him up to you, Lord, and we thank you that there is a wall of fire around him. They've tried to kill him numerous times, and you've protected him. And we thank you and we glorify you for doing that, Lord. And we thank you that you're going to continue to do that because we pray and we believe, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Did you want to pray something, Missy? I see you was unmuted.
You unmuted me. I wasn't unmuted.
I didn't unmute you. I would never do that.
Absolutely not.
Never do that.
I'm just sitting here thinking about all that's going on, the division in the country. That's just, there's faction like crazy. You know, the left against the right, the conservative against the liberal. And we, you know, we have to be very careful of what comes out of our mouth, not even to get, you know, caught up in that. And and you know, something hit me the other day. with putting your political preference posted in your yard. That just sets you up as a target, especially if you're a conservative, because it's the, you know, more of the liberal side that's more likely to be violent, as we know. And so I'd like to pray about that. Father, we just, you know, your people, there's so much political, patriotic, factious spirits even going on with your people, Lord, media, factious spirits and all this stuff going on with your people, Lord. You're elect, Lord. Lord, many are ignorant to these things, Lord. And they don't understand, Lord, but I ask you to open their eyes that they see, Lord, and that they repent, Lord. But until then, Lord, you have your time of bringing them repentance, opening their eyes and helping them to see, Lord, that our kingdom is not of this world, Lord. And just ask for your mercy and your protection upon them and deliverance of them from factious political media spirits, conservative, so-called conservative, it's, and all that stuff, Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And I just ask you to send forth your angels to protect your elect, Lord, until they come to the knowledge of the truth and the repentance, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you have a way of opening each of their eyes, Lord, to see the truth, and the truth will set them free, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. This world is not our kingdom. Your kingdom is our kingdom. We praise you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. This is not our fight. It is our duty to pray for him. Thank you, Lord. Okay, that's good. One little quick thing about factious people. I have literally seen born again, blood bought people filled with the Holy Spirit. When they get faction, the Lord wipes the slate clean. He wipes it clean. No more. I've seen one guy go to Mormonism. I saw another guy. I'm not kidding. This is crazy. I saw another guy get so stupid he couldn't drive his truck. I've seen another guy that went from being a born again, spirit filled, somewhat of a teacher of the Word of God, to a rabbi in the Messianic movement. It's just, God just takes them out and he wipes everything in their mind clean of what they knew about him. In other words, he takes what he gave them away from them and gives it to somebody else. So that's something to be very careful about. And that's all I want to say about it. That's enough. I think the warning's there. Go ahead, Pat.
I just got a question. Did all of those people have a... Oh, just a minute.
Careful, Pat. Don't fall out the chair, brother.
No, it wasn't it. It was a cramp coming on.
Oh.
The Lord has just kind of laid on me. I've been thinking about this since we started this talk, but do all those people have unforgiveness as a root? Those people that are bound in that faction? Say the three that you're talking about.
Well, the three that I'm talking about, almost every one of them had this spirit of rejection with a root of unforgiveness. So, yeah, that would, one of them had a spirit of wanting to be somebody. The guy that went to Mormonism, he thought he was a teacher and he thought he could do this, and he just couldn't see it, you know, it wasn't there.
Selfish ambition.
Yeah, selfish, ambitious ambition. And he wanted to be somebody in front of the people.
And it seems like there's I'm just going to project this, that they probably feel threatened with others that God is blessing, because
it's a spirit of rejection.
Okay,
that's what it is. It's a spirit of rejection, because most people are spirit of rejection. They want to please men so that they don't get that rejection, you know. That's fear of rejection.
When those that are factious, I know that they try to gather others around them, and mm-hmm. Angelica was saying it's a spirit of, you know, competition or you know, wanting to lead or whatever. But there's also, I think, that aspect that they are feeling alone in that and want support in what they're thinking or feeling, and the more people they can drag into that with the group, so to speak, is provides a certain, you know, moral support or whatever through the process. But I guess I was thinking that. Go ahead.
Well,
I think I was just thinking about the unforgiveness aspect of it, or not. You know, not being willing to forgive others for mm-hmm. being or feeling or doing or whatever the things that other people
it's
do.
It's the flesh.
Yeah.
It's the flesh. Yeah. I want to do what I want to do, and bless God, I'm getting you in my way. I'm that kind of thing. But the problem with families in faction is it takes the kids out too. We've seen families destroyed because dad wouldn't repent. Fine kids when they were here. And then when they left, they went to drugs and all kinds of sin. So it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Anyway, I'm going to kind of get off of that, get on something else. Let's get some more questions.
I thought that would be good to talk about that, because it's not like, I mean, when that spirit takes people out like that, generally it's because there's something else happening in that person's life. Okay. Right? There's something going on. And, you know, that's what the Lord allowed that person to be taken out too. So, I mean, because we've seen a few people leave for that reason here. And it's kind of catches your attention real quick when it happens. You know. Now, at the same time, it's not like I don't think the Lord's trying to use this to discourage you from coming in here and like, well, me, I like to go over the word and talk about it, you know, and if I teach something a little bit, fine. If I don't, that's fine. But it's not like, I think it's not like discouraging you from your gifts. That's not the intent. Not at all. You know, that's where the Lord's going to give us gifts. He's going to give us gifts and we'll use them. That's fine. It's like Pat is talking and a few others. They always seems to be they're hiding. They're trying to hide something from others from seeing it. And so they've got something there that they're hiding, and they're always going to be like we've seen where they're going to try to manipulate the body for their purpose or their agenda. They've got something going there. They're going to try to manipulate it. And eventually, for some reason, it's always, they come against the leadership. You know, they always come against the leadership eventually. And then that's right there. Once they start going there, going against David, going against Michael, just whatever it is, going against anybody in the body and just zeroing in on people and doing something right then, that's that factious spirit. It's come on. You know, so it's not just strange thoughts and where you kind of work through our ideas about things, you know, what we understand in scripture. That's fine. We're going to do that. It's when all of a sudden they just start attacking and then they don't let go. They won't let go of the attack. They can't repent from it and they won't repent from it. And if you ask them to and say, let's do this, let's go up, let's get rid of this, let's pray about this, let's cast this thing off, they won't do it. They won't do it. That spirit's got them. They will not let go. They won't quit criticizing whatever, whoever they're criticizing of and judging. They won't stop it. They may back off for a minute, for a little while, but they're going to come back to it. They're going to come back to it again. They're not going to let go. So that's if you think you've got this critical spirit constantly coming back on others and you find yourself being critical in some way, that's something that has to be dealt with, because that's what's going to take you out. It's a critical, something that's going to be trying to zero in on somebody and isolate them, or anybody, and not be forgiving and loving and moving forward and building each other, isolate something and cut it off. That's that factious spirit.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
The Lord was showing me too that with the faction or any of those spirits of offense is we are all accountable for what we know and what the Lord's given us. And these people who got caught, trapped in that faction were not fighting against the sin that fighting against the sin that they know is wrong. They're not using the tools, you know, that we know how to use, and using the word of God against it. And they have, like you all were saying, they have something within their heart that, you know, whether it be an idol, whether it be pride, whether it be jealousy, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, they're not willing to let go of that. They're justifying their thoughts and their feelings, and therefore then they give into that in place of fighting against it. That's why it's so important to stay in the Word and keep feeding your spirit man and discerning and asking God for to make your heart clean and to be repenting and to constantly be seeking the truth and wanting that and being obedient. You know, if we're obedient to what God's given us and you're fighting against it, and sometimes we need help or whatever, but, you know, we all need help. Jesus, thank you, Lord. We all need help. But that's just what the Lord was showing me, is just they're just self-justifying their feelings and their thoughts and not fighting against the sin.
And not taking correction. They will not take correction for whatever reason. You know, they don't want to go any further. Go ahead, Pat.
So, to kind of put it in perspective, I guess, I'm thinking of, so David has been teaching for the last month, man-child judges and preserves. And we're in the midst right now, we're seeing in our government this massive factious battle that is happening, you know, between the white hats and the black hats, or however you want to put it. And yet I'm listening to the messages, and I haven't seen the judges portion of it, seen the preserves portion of it, but the judgment or the judgment portion of it, I haven't caught that yet. I haven't seen it. And I think what I'm picking up through the whole process is that the judging is God is bringing in the judgment against this thing, using the factious as a tool in his tool belt to strengthen, build, establish his church, his people, to bring forth out of them Christ in them. But the judgment part, the judging portion of that, I haven't seen yet. And so what are your thoughts about that, Michael?
You talking about the judgment on the factious?
Yes, I guess that was.
Well, I just gave you three or four examples of what God did to them. He took every bit of knowledge that they had out of them.
He wiped their slate clean. Yeah, I'm talking about. I was looking specifically at the examples of the harsher or.
Some of them would be reprobated.
In our government, basically, is kind of a typical picture of seeing the battle there in front of us. Do you feel that it will, that there's going to be a removal, a destruction of these parties?
What are you talking about?
In the government, let's just say in the government, because what is everything, the man-child's role in that process?
Well, we'll have to ask him when he comes. But here's everything that happens in the natural is parallel to what happens to us, of course. That's what God's told us. And if that's the case, then what you're going to see is the factious come down. They're going to be brought down, just like the Edomites, going to be brought down and judged. And for a time. But that's what's going to happen. Our factious is going to get judged, and their factious, the nation.
Do you see this picture, this as a Elijah and Mount Carmel, you know, type of thing of the prophets of Baal?
I think it's going to be like a Red Sea. I think it's going to be like the Red Sea. It's going to come on them all at once if it hadn't already. You're seeing that now. Look what happened this month. I don't want to get into any politics or anything like that, but what you're seeing now is the deep state coming down. That's what's happening right now. And we're also seeing, the Lord has been telling us that the faction, he's going to take the faction over. He's going to bowl them over. It's going to be just like the Red Sea. Remember when Pharaoh thought he could get across that ocean before it got him? No, didn't happen. Same thing going to happen.
Amen.
Yep, Andrew.
I guess Herod, what happened to him in the book of Acts there, when he when he died, because they were raising him up to be something, would be a good example of a factious person, a factious king or governor, or puppet king, whatever, because they took him out. Well, God took him out right there.
Yep. Amen. So,
do you remember when the sons of Zebedee wanted to be at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus? Their mother came and wanted them to do that?
Yep.
Well, Jesus had to correct all the disciples there after that. He said something about that we don't have the same kind of government where you have a benefactor under you. This is more of a family thing we have. And you got to love family. So there's, even as it says in the word, honor all men, fear God, love the brethren, honor the king, you know, and look at Romans 13. You know, if we still had Obama, or if you still had Obama, you know, he's the king. He's the leader. Mm-hmm. And Paul had to deal with Caesar. Look at who he had to deal with. So, you got to think of how much mercy and grace that they need to harvest from the Lord to be inside your heart. And sometimes the Lord has to really take a person down for that and put them in the valley so he can climb up the side of the mountain. And it's hard, you know. You can see a lot of faction in any of the martyrs. I have a book of martyrs out here, and I did something, and I just said, okay, Lord, I want you to show me which one you want me to read. You know, like you do with your Bible, you put it open and then you put your finger down. He picked a real rough one there. And I was going, oh boy. And it was a young lady too, what they did to this lady. Oh yeah. Anyway, it's and it would have been within our lifetimes here. So it was sad. And I don't want to go into any detail, because and you got to be careful reading those, because it might make you have a focus, because they give you too much information on what country that happened in, you know, and it can make you really angry against some of the people, you know. I believe that the prayers of Americans actually helped a lot of Russian Christians in the communist nation. And I believe their prayers too are helping the Americans right now. So praise God. All glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, the best thing for all of us to do is to get as close to the Lord as you can, and you can get as close as you want. So,
get this real close, and then you have to get closer after.
Yeah. I want to be up in Jesus's lap. I want to be hearing about all that stuff that I couldn't hear about because he didn't have enough books to write it. Wallace Law, that's right. Right, anybody else? What's the Let me ask you some another way. Has anybody got anything they want to talk about other than?
I it may sound simple, but I'd just really like to hear people talk about mercy and grace for a while, and
amen,
and agape love, you know, a love agape style, and we need to do the battles with faction too, but those are the items that will always win. Is the mercy with truth and the salvation, just like it says in the word, salvation from our enemies and from all that hate us, so we need that love and that grace and that mercy. We need to even judge by it. Like it sounds weird, but how can you possibly judge anyone if you're going to do it with grace and mercy? Jesus even said after 3:16 of John, think not that I've come to judge the world, but to save. All the mercy and grace that you can actually have. I just wish, that there would be some sort of pipe that he can just pipe it all into me, that I can be filled with this so much so that it would just calm you. The peace that would be there, the serenity of it, to live it, to speak it, the words that we are given to us, that we learn for it to have its life set in you. I remember when I was a Christian, a very young Christian, I had a list of Bible verses that I've tried to commit to memory, off by heart. And I was just reciting them one day, and then I stopped, and I heard this voice, "What's wrong, Andrew?" And I said, "Well, Lord, there's something wrong. I want these verses to be alive in me." And you have so much word in you now that you want even all of that alive in you. How far much more you've come with this ministry, which is the Lord's. I take it away from David and Michael, and it is the Lord's ministry. Praise God, All that word that you have, it's got to be alive. And I remembered that, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, Lord. I've gotten a lot of glory from you. And there's so much more to be attained. Like God being the magnificent glory that he is. So I think we're going to have a real nice time when we're in heaven. All that glory you can attain to. I just so much been thinking so much on mercy and grace and agape love, And I noticed that I was focused all on that when the guy was tempting me to try to convert me. I needed wisdom right away, and it came from the Lord. So I hope that's an encouragement for people, because, being down in the dumps sometimes about things can be a very uplifting thing for a person. You can be in a valley in your life there, and you just have to let it go. Give it to the Lord. Because there's nothing else he can do. It's all in his hands anyway. Praise God.
Amen.
Did we want to read some word, maybe?
Obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. So it sounds like to me, in order for us to get more of God, we have to obey God, right? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So that's the first step as a Christian, is obedience to the Word of God. And once you start that, that's when the Holy Spirit starts pouring more into you, That's where the mercy of Christ comes in. Glory to God. And that's when miracles happen. That's when all the good stuff, but it's obedience first. That's number one.
Can I share something?
Yes.
You know, that's the encouraging part of all this stuff. I mean, I really went through this faction thing, and the wonderful part about all of this, and it is exactly like you say, Michael, is learning obedience for not just for your sake, but because of the body's sake, where you can't experience the glory and the power of God and the unity of the faith unless you give up self, you know. And that's where all these people, you know, all these people that were taken out, there's a part of themselves they didn't want to give up. There was their idols, you know, thinking in ways of about themselves that they were not willing to give up for various reasons, you know. But, you know, I found myself many, many times, I mean, just horrified with what was in my heart. But when I first came to the Lord, it was something that I just cried out to God. I knew that I needed him. And I just said, Lord, make me a faithful person. I've never been faithful in anything in all my life, but make me to be faithful to you. And it was horrifying to see that these things were so about myself, but, you know, in God's mercy and grace, he gave me the grace to repent, and he didn't just put me aside like I so many times feared he would, you know. And I realized the more I did this and the more I fought against what was in my nature is the unity in the body here, true love, you know, true ability to like the body says, you know, what causes thee to differ? If we're one man and one spirit and one flesh, one faith, one Holy Spirit, then there's nothing different about that. Our minds are being, if we all have the mind of Christ, then there's nothing to hold on to about self, because our aim is not to be self anymore. It's to die to self. It's to be this one man in Christ, in unity of the faith and power. And that's why the devil comes against it so much, because there is power in that unity in the faith, because when there's no division, the Spirit of the Lord is its strongest, you know. And that's the grace that I saw, that although these really bad things were happening, it was God's love towards his people that really in their hearts wanted to serve him in spirit and truth and had no other motive to serve him other than just loving God, like truly, you know, humble by what they've been given, by what they've been shown, by the mercy extended to them in their own lives for their own sins, you know. And those are the people that are going to remain in the body. You know, there's no way around that. Because you serve God, you have to serve him in spirit and truth. And, you know, being here, you know, learn, it's one thing, and, you know, when it's all in theory, but when you're in here, you're actually in the trenches and you're learning, you know, by hands-on experience, you know, what it is to love, what it is to be humble, what it is to give grace, what it is to let go of, you know, your preconceived ideas, your thoughts and, you know, your old life for the sake of the body, for the love of the body, because you want your brother to stand, your brother wants you to stand. And I just think that is the most amazing hand of God, that he can orchestrate this thing, not just with people who are together in a body physically, you know, in one area, but worldwide, where people like us can come together for from all parts of, you know, every different nation, and where his spirit gave us that conviction that we all have, and we have that understanding amongst ourselves, and we have the spirit of God to forgive and to give grace and to be in unity and to stand with each other in prayer. I think that's the most amazing thing we can experience here in this world. And we have to experience that grace in this world in order to get to heaven, because, you know, we have to have that mind here before we get there, you know? So I thank God myself. I will tell you, I failed many, many, many times. I was in fear. I had a lot of rejection on me, thinking God was just done with me. You know, I've messed up too many times. I have this ugliness in my heart, and I'm repentant, but it seems impossible. And God, in all his grace and mercy, showed up for me and didn't just throw me away like I would have thrown me away, you know, a long time ago. And I thank God for that. There's so many things that I don't understand, but I have to look back and I have to look at the lives of others and say, thank you, God. That's love. You know, that's love. That's what the love of God is. It's his grace and his mercy and his righteousness shown forth, not because of anything that I've done or any one of us can do, but it's his righteousness, his mercy, his grace that has been extended to all of us. And I just think that's so encouraging, and I hope it encourages someone else too.
Amen. Did me. Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I'd like to read something. I was sitting here thinking about this verse and or this group of scriptures, and I started thinking about us as a household or a family. So I was going to read this, but it kind of struck me. And it's the Passover, the verses of Passover in Exodus 12:3. It said, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th month, 10th day of the month of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then he and his neighbor next to his house take one according to the number of souls, according to every man's eating. You shall make your count of the lamb. I don't want to read too much more of that, but I was thinking about this place as a household. And I was thinking about the aspect of, and they slay the lamb, and then they take the blood of the lamb and they put it on the side posts of the door and across the lintel of the house. And of all who were in this household, no matter where they were at in their life, where they were struggling with whatever they had that they were dealing with, it wasn't their own personal abilities that preserved them through this time. It was that they took the blood of the lamb and it was on their house, and they were in the house. And and God said, for I will go through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. And I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the thing that kind of hit me about it is that every one of us deals with the firstborn in our lives, and to whatever degree you have come into the realization that as strong as you are, you're not able to destroy that firstborn, the strength of that firstborn. However, God brought us into a household. We've all taken the blood of the lamb and splashed it across those lintels, and we've set in the house. And God promised, Father promised to come through the land, and he will smite that Egyptian. And I believe that he is, that all of those resting in the blood in the house, trusting God, can expect and can look forward to the fact that it is only God that is able to smite that firstborn within us and set us free, as he has already done, but I believe will do so in a great way in manifestation. And this blood will be a token upon your houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Not only that land outside the house, but whatever remnants are left inside these bodies of the old man, shall we say. So I just, I think God is doing something larger than what I even see. I get glimpses of it all the time, but I think his glory is going to shine across the planet and be revealed while we're here to see it. So I praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just ask, pray that tonight people got a revelation about what we talked about. I ask, Lord, that you open up people's minds to see, and their eyes and ears to hear the truth of what was spoken tonight. And I thank you for it, Father. Some good testimonies, some good word. And Father, we just ask and we pray, Father, that people listen and will get a revelation of the factious spirit and the obedience that needs to be done. Obedience will keep you out of faction. Father, we thank you for that. Give everybody a good night's sleep tonight, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.